Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
So what do getting married in a backyard, a shark tank and Airbnb have in common? Well, it's all to do with a company called Space Deco. Connects communities through simplifying venue hire process. We know there's so many not-for-profit spaces for hire, so many people looking for spaces to hire. So they act as the broker. It's a very interesting service and one that community centres can take advantage of to minimise their admin time. We're talking today to Jeremy Hurst, co-founder and director of Space Deco. Well, welcome, Jeremy. Your company, Space Deco, is one that connects communities with their venue hire process. Now, having been working in the not-for-profit space for many years, and actually I was the CEO for Girl Guides, and we had all these halls with spaces often rarely used that we had to pay for and they needed to make some money. And that's just what your organisation does, is help not-for-profits in that exact space, doesn't it?
Absolutely does, Kerry. Thanks for having me on your podcast. Yep, that's the problem we are seeking to solve, is matching the community to the local spaces and places out there.
And Jeremy, how did it all start?
Well, that's a great question. So a little bit of a story, I suppose. So way back in 2015, I was working in the education tech consultancy space. I'm a former school teacher by training, so I did 13 years of teaching before sort of branching out into IT. And I was having a lot of trouble trying to find spaces and venues to run workshops and seminars and networking events. And when you did a Google search, you would find sort of hotels with function rooms and whatnot that were on the list at the top. And it was just difficult to find a local hall. And if you did find a local hall with a council or a centre, the booking process was cumbersome. Usually as a hirer, you want to know the answer to three questions. What does the space look like? So can I imagine this is the space for me? What does it cost? And is it available when I need it? Because your hirer is thinking of invitations. They're thinking of the program they need to run and when they need to run it and when we'll be able to be available for the event you're hiring for. And so if you can answer those three questions for somebody, it really helps to kind of green light that this is a booking that could happen. And that just wasn't my experience back in 2015. It was just really cumbersome and time-consuming, involved a lot of back and forth, filling in forms and payments over the phone. And if you changed your mind and needed to shift a date or add more time, it was more complex. And I was working at the time also, I was doing a short course with MIT in Boston. It's called ULab. Some of your listeners may have heard of ULab. It's quite fantastic. It's free. And the premise of the course is changing business, society, and self. And I guess this idea, this concept became my project that I started to work on. So I set out to kind of solve this problem. And fast forward to 2024, here I am, still working on this. So, yeah, that's how it all got started. There's a couple of other little anecdotes to it as well.
I was going to say, Jeremy, there's a lot of anecdotes, something to do with getting married and a shark tank and Airbnb.
That's right. So I just had listed our property as an Airbnb. And funnily enough, I built my own house. I own a built project and wanted to have a guest come and stay with us as a B&B accommodation. This was before Airbnb was conceived as a concept, but when that came along, it just made it so easy as somebody who needed to take bookings to kind of outsource that part and all the paperwork and the money side. Just Airbnb just handles it. And every now and then I look at it and I go, ooh, so that's what I've spent on Airbnb every year, because we do our tax and we declare our B&B earnings through tax. As I could see it quite clearly, and I'm like, maybe I'll just go and see what it's going to cost me to go and have my own little booking system on our website. And every time I do this exercise, it's actually cheaper to use Airbnb, because you've got to implement a payment gateway to manage payment for bookings. You've got to have an availability engine that manages booking times. And you've just got to make sure all of that works. And there's lots of systems out there that you can put on your website, like little hotelier, but they're expensive and I'd be paying more. So that was a false economy, and I realised that the platform approach was, it just worked because it made sense to me. So I was like thinking, well, I'm sharing accommodation, why not share space as well? And the thing that segued off of that thought was, well, I just got married in my own backyard at the beginning of the year, and there's a lot of people out there who don't have access to a backyard for a backyard wedding. And there's also a lot more people living in townhouses and apartments in battle axe blocks that are being subdivided, and a lot of people don't have the space for these things anymore. So there's absolutely a need out there for all kinds of different space types. The original idea was for people who had private property space to list that as well, but we learned early on in our journey that that came with a lot of inherent risk, and the cost of a cross liability insurance policy was too expensive to entertain as a startup business. So we ended up partnering with a lot of small businesses, and we built a business off of that. Quite successfully, actually. We had some really successful spaces in Adelaide too in the early days. I'm based in WA, and this business started here in Perth. But we had a lot of early success in Adelaide, and there was a really funky little cafe down at Port Adelaide that was right on the harbour there, and it was, I think, a project put in place by Renew SA, or Renew Adelaide, and it was called Folklore Cafe. And they were doing a huge amount of revenue through their books, through venue hire on Space2Co. It really helped to supplement that business as a cafe. And I don't think it's a cafe anymore, because I don't think that lease was continued sadly. But yeah, it's just one of the early success stories of the platform. And so we were building up off small business. And then we, kind of at the same time, we came across local government, and turns out local government's got a lot of spaces and places and not very good processes for how they share those and book them. And we saw the same with community centres also. And we sort of ended up doing a little bit of a pivot away from small business and more focusing on these community venue organisations like councils and centres. And we just have really built to solve this problem for them, doubled down on that as a focus since about 2018, I would say. And yeah, the vast majority of the properties you see on Space2Co these days are community centres and council spaces, with a smaller number of small businesses. And yeah, it's just been a really great partnership with these areas. I guess for the community, the really nice thing is that a lot of the venues that are on there, they're not ridiculously expensive. Sometimes there's these really beautiful post-industrial halls that have been painted with white walls, and they're sort of like the Instagram space, I guess you call it. And those property owners feel like they can charge a lot of money per hour for those. And sure, that's going to meet some people's need out there in the community. But one of the things that's really, really important when you're trying to make better use of existing properties that have already been built is to make sure they're not ridiculously expensive. And so that's one of the nice things around partnering with centres and councils, is their spaces are just, they're well priced. And that appeals to a lot of people out there, I think.
So I've got a few questions about this, Jeremy, because I said I have a lot of experience in it, having worked with an organisation that had a lot of not-for-profit space, but also other organisations. Mm. One of the things that is a real challenge is if someone wants to come in and hold an event and there's alcohol involved. That's the first one. Second one is the insurance, as you said, because we'd want them to carry the liability for the insurance, particularly if they're having an event that involves alcohol. Then there's the issue of if they do damage, and do you take a bond, and what do you take? So that's from that not-for-profit space taking somebody on. And then from the people who are taking on a space, is does that venue have the necessary compliance in place around work health safety, asbestos register, fire extinguishers, exit signs? Because I've seen some terrible stories and situations, so I'm interested is to see how far Space2Co goes and being engaged and assisting with that.
Yeah, they're great questions, Kerry. Thank you for that. So I guess the role we have is that we're the matchmaker around finding people in the community who need to hire local spaces. The way we facilitate that is through the software that we've built that makes it really easy to find, discover and book those spaces. The party that's got the space for hire, ultimately they are in control of, in full control in fact, of the bookings that they accept or decline. So if you have a booking request come through for a 21st birthday party in a community centre, well, the centre's policy might be, no, we don't accept 21st birthday parties. It might be you don't accept any birthday party because they can come with a bit of mess, and there might have been experience in the past where, you know, more people came than should have come and that sort of thing. So yeah, the host always has full control over the types of bookings that they accept. They also are in full control of whether they state they were a drug and alcohol free venue, and a lot of the community venues on the platform are, but there are also plenty that do allow alcohol. with your local government spaces, they will typically ask for an occasional liquor license to be supplied, depending on the state, territory, where that is. And in terms of insurances, the host typically has their own landlord's insurance if that's a rented property. If it's a peppercorn lease through a council, then that's kind of got covered through council's insurances. But the onus is on the host to ensure that somebody hiring a hall, for example, for an activity that comes with risk, let's say, for example, teaching a yoga class, it is incumbent on the host to ask for that hirer to provide their public liability insurance before accepting that booking to run a yoga class. And we provide all the tools in the platform to make that really easy. So there's the ability to request a public liability insurance document from a hirer that comes with its expiry date, which automatically gets picked up and requests an update if there are future bookings and the insurance lapses. So yeah, we do cover for those sorts of things, I suppose. The other point you made was about taking a bond and how do you mitigate against costs for damages. So yeah, we have a solution for that. We call that Space Protect. And we have two types of Space Protect. We have your traditional bond, which is a upfront hold. We do this in a really nice way. We're leveraging the payment gateways in the system. So for your listeners, a payment gateway is simply a modern way of collecting funds, and they are held by that provider, by that payment gateway in trust, through like a security pre-authorization. Think of it as like a hotel hold, you know, when you check into a hotel.
Of course, they used to
do the old swipe the credit card thing. Operates similar to that, except they're not actually having to take a physical imprint of your card. It's all done securely and digitally online. So we're using Stripe as the payment gateway that manages that part. And many of your listeners would have heard of Stripe. That's a PCI-compliant, secure payment gateway. But yeah, the system automatically, if you request like a, let's hold a $200 bond from a customer, the system 3 to 4 days before the booking will go and attempt to hold that bond money. And then it will sit there like that hotel hold. And if there's no claim made, the funds will automatically release back to the hirer's card without the need to kind of have to go into your trust account and write out a credit note and get that money back to the hirer's account. So a lot of that is quite automated. The other type of bond or Space Protect we have is a post-event claim. So if you decided, hey, we've got this very low-risk booking coming in, let's say it's a reading group, a reading club, and they come through every month, but turns out, oops, last week they, in their weekly Wednesday reading club booking, they spilt red wine and the floorboards are horribly stained and we're going to have to get those sanded and resealed. So you can do a post-event claim because it was such a low-risk booking you didn't do a bond, that you can still have a way to recoup costs there. It's not as robust as an upfront traditional bond because the hirer could, if they wanted to be difficult about it, they could cancel their card or whatever. But we just don't see, that's like a worst case scenario. We just don't see that kind of behaviour happen. You raised some other points about compliance and exercise.
Yes, I was saying from the spaces perspective because, and again, working with Girl Guides with some of these old halls, you know, just that, because when it goes wrong, then it goes wrong. People will say, well, why wasn't there an asbestos register and, you know, what happened with the fire extinguisher?
Yeah, no, that's great. They're great points. So when it goes wrong indeed. Look, a lot of the properties on the Space Care platform, I guess, fall under the remit or the guidelines of the local council. And councils are pretty good at keeping track of the register of the properties in the various state that they're in. So I'll talk to the council properties first. Councils have often many, many properties. They have so many that they can't actually manage all of them. So what they do is they outsource some of the management to a community group under a peppercorn lease. So they pay a dollar a year and they get to manage this facility. And the council's happy because it's less work for them. And the community group's happy because they get to activate the space in a way that they would like to activate it. So a lot of community centres are actually in council buildings under a peppercorn lease structure. And because they're council buildings, they have those checks and balances in place where they've got to be compliant with wheelchair access, exit signs, asbestos registers and the like, fire safety, so barrel ratings and things like that, just to make sure that those assets are safe for the community to access. Is that to say that every single building on our marketplace is completely compliant in these areas? Probably not every single one, if I'm completely honest about it. But one of the things we're doing to ensure high quality of properties on the Space to Go marketplace and platform is quality assurance checks. This is a process we're building at the moment where we're making sure that the properties on our platform are, in fact, as compliant as they can be. And even you raising this today with me, Kerry, is like actually a really good footnote to take that back to our team to make sure that is the case.
As I said, Jerry, we have a lot of experience in this space. I also wanted to raise, I have had a look at your website, but are you going to move into, like, for example, it's free for centres to sign up, and we will talk about how you've got staggered pricing and it starts with free and then moves up depending on what they need. But do you have template hire agreements or, for example, is your space ready checklists?
Template hire agreement, that's a really good point, right? So a lot of people, when they say, all right, this is how we hire our spaces out at the moment. We've got a form, we've got our policies, and we've got, I was speaking to a council just yesterday, they have 98 different email templates they use to send a hirer based on the type of inquiry and confirming an invoice and issuing refunds and that sort of thing. The thing with our system is it actually kind of does away with about 70 to 80% of those email templates because there's so many processes that have just been built into it. So when a pending booking is made, like it's been a request from a hirer, it hasn't been approved yet, the system automatically sends the organisation, like the community centre, a pending booking email request, and that's all done automatically by the system. When you approve a booking, it automatically sends a booking confirmation with all of the access instructions that you've set, with all of the rules automatically. You don't have to go and do that stuff again. So things like template hire agreements almost get replaced simply through the act of taking what is a pen and paper process into a digital one.
And that's
so
excellent.
You can remove lots of legacy administration. And the net result of that is about an 80% time saving on admin times associated with bookings. But yeah, you said something else. When you mentioned template hire agreements, you said something else.
Is your space ready checklist as well?
Oh, yeah. So that's falling into the quality assurance checks that we are putting in place. We actually already have customer success team, and a couple of those team members will be working on the QA project just to make sure that the quality of the spaces on our platform are right. People used to say in the early days, oh, what are you doing that for? That's crazy. You know, people are going to list party houses and it's going to go crazy and you're going to be on the news. And it just hasn't happened. Like 99.9% of people out there are actually fantastic and they're doing really meaningful, important work out there in the community. We're seeing all kinds of reasons why people hire space. Like it really is interesting. And a lot of cultural community connection meetups related hire, a lot of kids' birthday parties, a lot of workshops run by people who've got their own little side hustle business or they're dipping their toe into trying something new on their or going out on their own. We're seeing an emergence of new and emerging sports that's kind of a little bit part of, I guess, immigration as well that we see in Australia. So sports like pickleball and futsal are really like emerging through the communities across Australia, apparently two of the fastest growing sporting codes. And sometimes these sports are played indoors in community halls, not on traditional playing fields like you'd expect.
No, because you develop them anywhere. And what I value about your service, Jeremy, is that you've got a graduated pricing scale depending on what people need. But even the free sign-up is, as you said, I mean, community centres have limited staffing, maybe 1.5 day paid person. So they're really stretched. And the back and forth with phone calls can suck up so much time. So if you are pre-getting people to walk themselves through a bit of that DIY with the checks and balances, that's excellent. Perhaps explain to us your graduated payment system, depending on what people are looking for.
Yeah, so as a host, I'll go back a bit. So the history of our pricing was originally we were going to do what Airbnb does, which is charge a small commission to the hirer and also a small commission to the host, the property owner who's sharing spaces. But we realised that whilst that worked for accommodation with Airbnb, it was a bit confusing for space hire. And when we branched out to working with councils, it broke because councils have published fees and charges every year for everything from dog licences through to how much it costs to hire your local tennis court. So we had to adopt like a fee just on one side, and that had to be on the host side. So that's what we did. And we have three tiers. So you can be a casual host on the platform. So you've got to, you can just, anyone listening can go onto Space to Co, sign up, it's free. You can be up and running pretty quick. Like, it doesn't take you long to knock up a space. You can do it in 20, 30 minutes and publish it, pop in your bank details so we can pay you for your bookings, and that's it. Away you go. And what Space to Co takes is a 15% clip on the booking, on the confirmed bookings. So free bookings, there's no fee. What that means simply is $10, Space to Co gets $1.50, and the balance goes to the host. So that works really well. And then we have, from casual, we have partner hosts. This is where a lot of community centres sit. So with our partner hosts, they get a lot more features get unlocked for them. So they get the document management for things like managing alcohol permits and public liability. They get access to much better data and insights on their bookings, and they get access to a lot more support from our team. And there's no annual fee for that. The cost of the bookings is just 15% clip, so that's it. And then we charge a heavily subsidised onboarding and training fee. It's really comprehensive, and we only charge $199 for that. So that's subsidised for community centres and education. And then top tier is Partner Pro, and that's what councils have, which I could talk about, but maybe your listeners don't care so much for that.
Well, look, I think that we do know that councils would obviously have their own rules and regulations in place and probably be easier to deal with, but doing it across many centres, a little bit more complex. Jeremy, that's given a really good overview. It's a fantastic service, and that's why I really wanted to do the podcast with you, to let community centres know about it, because what they will find is they're spending valuable time that can be done by something online and saving them that face-to-face that they just never have enough time with their communities.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to be heading over to Adelaide, which I love doing. I'll be over for your conference at the National Wine Centre. I've been coming to that conference for the last few years, and it's always just a fantastic crowd and a lot of smiles, a lot of happy people. And yeah, we end up chatting to a lot of your delegates who are pretty interested in saving a lot of their admin time. So yeah, I look forward to catching up with everyone at the conference.
And we look forward to having you there. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jeremy.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks, Kerry.
And thank you for listening and engaging with our community conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide, across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au. And feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next community conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.